I'm Karen Given, and this is Only a Game, except when it isn't.
To me, it's like not even close to just a game. Like, this is my family's culture. This is what we love and do and talk about and grew up bonding, playing together.
For John Cross and his family, the sport that's so much more than a game is soccer. It started with his older sister, Megan.
Wearing the number 9 as a jersey, and then my brother did the same thing, my sister Nikki did the same thing. And we kind of all just followed each other's footsteps.
John grew up in Pembroke, Massachusetts, a town of less than 20,000, about 30 miles south of Boston. The soccer-playing Cross siblings were written up in newspapers and magazines. The three oldest played Division I college. Nikki turned pro. John was the youngest.
It was a lot of pressure, I'm not going to lie.
Growing up, John always assumed he'd keep following in his siblings' footsteps. But his dreams would be derailed. And it's not like he didn't know any better.
I grew up with Just Say No. I got horror stories my whole life, and my generation grew up to be the worst heroin epidemic of all time.
That epidemic is important to John's story, because along the way, the NCAA, an organization usually not known for being flexible and forward-thinking, would be asked a pretty tough question. If drug addiction is a disease, as most doctors agree that it is, should a season missed due to drug addiction be counted the same way as a season missed due to a torn ACL? That might seem like a crazy question at first, but let me tell you the story from John's perspective. John's addiction has roots in junior high. He'd go into the woods to drink and smoke pot. He started taking Adderall. He says he wasn't much different from other kids in his area, kids who didn't become addicted to drugs. When do you feel like it started to become a bigger issue?
My junior year in high school. I was one of the better kids on my high school soccer team. And I couldn't stop smoking weed.
John was missing classes, so his coach told him he'd have to sit out for one practice. Instead, John quit. He never played high school soccer again. His parents were disappointed, especially his mom.
As much as you want to think that all these sporting games are for you, and they put so much effort into me. Like, she put so much time, like, going to practice, showing up to my games. For me just to, like, throw it away my junior year in high school was kind of slap in the face.
John moved to Florida for college, but he was still drinking and doing drugs. And without soccer to anchor his identity, he took on a new one, a tough guy from Boston.
I used to lie about being from Boston. I'm not from Boston. I'm from Pembroke.
John thought a change of scenery and a return to the sport he loved would turn things around. So he moved back to Massachusetts, enrolled in UMass Boston, and walked on to the soccer team. He knew that as an NCAA student-athlete, he'd be subjected to random drug testing, so
I went on this website called PassYourDrugTest.com.
John was looking for a way to keep doing drugs without failing a test. The website suggested opiates and cocaine, because those drugs leave your system relatively quickly. So that's what John did. But it wasn't a drug test that derailed John's first season at UMass. One day, after being out partying all night before a game, he just called the team captain and quit. Somehow, John convinced the coach to let him back on the team the next year.
At this point, though, my opiate abuse was really bad, so I showed up to practice every day high, and I knew they were drug testing people. They drug tested a friend of mine. I just felt like it was coming.
John says to save himself and his family the embarrassment of a failed drug test, he quit again, though he did manage to graduate, barely.
I guess I'll just be honest. My senior year, I paid people to write my papers. I'd say I'm an economics major, supply and demand. I have the money, they want to write papers. Boom, I must have learned something.
John's graduation, as illegitimate as it might have been, is important to this story because he hadn't used up all of his NCAA eligibility. But in Division III, eligibility ends at graduation. The NCAA does make exceptions, but it would be another few years before John was in any shape to challenge the system.
My drug use was already at a limit where if I had stopped taking them, I'd get sick. So I started working in finance in Boston, getting high every day in the parking lot. And that's where I started realizing that, like, I might have a little bit of a problem.
John tried another change of scenery. He moved to California, but
surprise, surprise, they had plenty of drugs in San Diego.
Before long, John was back in Massachusetts. He started taking regular trips down to New York City, where he says a crooked doctor gave him prescriptions for hundreds of Percocets at a time.
Then I would get on the bus. I'd bring them back to Massachusetts. And I remember I had moments where I'd look at the window and be like, is this your life now? Is this what you're doing? Are you just going to sell drugs? Like, are you ever going to kind of snap out of this? And then I'd say, of course I am. This is just a phase.
John started shooting heroin. Months passed. And then one day in May of 2014, a friend who'd been sober for years stopped by to check on him.
He sat down. He said, John, how's it going, man? I said, good. He said, really? I said, no.
The next day, John Cross checked into rehab. He was told he needed to reevaluate his entire life and how he looked at things.
Like, I thought I was going to be able to pet some horses and, you know, like do some yoga and maybe you'd feed me some organic greens and I would go home.
In truth, yoga and meditation played an important role in John's recovery. While he was in treatment, John called his friend, the one who had gotten sober years earlier.
I said, do you think everybody at home knows I'm a drug addict? Because I'm really nervous about everybody finding out. He says, yeah, man, the funny thing about that is you're usually the last one to find out.
After rehab, John moved to Portland, Maine. That's when he realized he missed soccer. He missed everything about it. He thought maybe he could coach or consult with a team.
And I emailed a bunch of local coaches. I said, hey, this is my story. I don't want any money. I don't want anything else. I just want to be a part of the game.
He got one response from the head coach at the University of Southern Maine. But John hadn't as much as touched a soccer ball in 2 or 3 years. So before he showed up for the interview,
I went out to a park and I went up to a bunch of people. I was the only kid that spoke English. I said, can I play? They said, what? And I just raised my hand. They passed me the ball and then I started going down there every single day.
John was invited to help out with the team at Southern Maine. He was 26 years old and 40 pounds overweight. But the coach knew how much John loved to play. So whenever the team scrimmaged, John was allowed to join in.
And I remember one of the kids told me later on, he goes, I thought when you first put on your cleats, like, this guy's going to be terrible. Look at the size of him. And he's like, then you started playing and you were good. He's like, you got out of breath quick, but you were good.
Players on the team started teasing John, telling him that he should join the team for real. But by then, he'd read the NCAA regulations. They're available online in PDF files.
And I would look at the PDF and I'm like, my eyes would get all squinty and I would just stare at him and be like, okay, it's saying you can't do this.
John kept staring at those PDF files, looking for some kind of loophole. He found one that would require him to attend graduate school at the same university where he finished undergrad. But that wasn't going to work. John had graduated UMass Boston with a 1.98 GPA.
I wouldn't be able to get into graduate school anyways.
So he approached the compliance officer at Southern Maine, where he was helping with the team, to see if that school would petition the NCAA for a medical exemption, just like schools often do for a player who suffered a season-ending injury.
And he's like, well, that's not a thing. That's not a real rule. And I was like, well, we should make it one.
John Cross and Southern Maine filed the paperwork. John received a letter saying the request was denied. So did the compliance officer, but
he goes, yeah, well, we got a phone call. He goes, they said no, but they'd like for you to appeal it because they think your story's kind of interesting.
John gathered letters from doctors, and he wrote his own letter explaining how much it would mean to him to finish a college soccer season. He wanted to walk on the field on senior day, take a picture with his parents, and present his mom with flowers.
I don't know why I was so attached to that day, but I was. I was just like, I really think that it would mean something to my family and myself.
But while he was waiting for an answer from the NCAA, John's mother was diagnosed with late-stage lung and brain cancer. John traveled back and forth between Maine and Massachusetts to help care for her, and he kept working on his soccer skills.
And also running, like a drug addict Rocky, right? Like by myself. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm even playing. What am I doing? Why am I dribbling this ball around?
Finally, John called the NCAA directly, which is definitely not encouraged in those PDF files.
I said, listen, am I playing or what? She's like, who is this? I'm like, this is John Cross. She's like, oh. And she got all weird and like quiet. She's like, we just got out of a meeting for you. You must have caught them on a good day. You'll be the first person to get eligibility for this. Congratulations, you're playing next year. I remember I took the phone away from my ear and I was like, I am?
We've asked the NCAA to confirm that John Cross was the first person to be granted a medical eligibility waiver due to past drug abuse. They haven't responded. But the eligibility office at Southern Maine has confirmed everything else. All season long, John's mom, Noelle, was too sick to attend his games until senior day.
And I remember I got up that day. It was freezing cold. My dad's like, "Your mom's coming. Like, she's coming. She has to be at the game," she said. I said, "Okay."
John Cross walked onto the soccer field at the University of Southern Maine, carrying flowers for his mom. The PA announcer introduced him.
And they listed, like, the three schools that I'd been to, and I was like, wish they skipped over that. And they're like, "John's, you know, is a leader," and they were saying all these things, and I was like, am I? Like, I can't believe I'm here. Because I thought I was going to either be dead or in jail, or never thought I was going to be doing this that day. I gave flowers to my mom, my dad. We took a nice little picture. They got their day, and I'm just glad that I could be a participant in their day, as weird as that sounds.
And then what happened with your mom?
So I went home. I sat down on my couch. My phone rang. It was my dad. He says, "There's complications with your mom's cancer."
Brain cancer is a strange thing. Sometimes it moves slowly, sometimes quickly. In the hours since she'd left the game, Noelle Cross had lost the ability to walk and speak.
So the last time I ever saw my mom walk on her own was off that field, speaking fluently like I remember.
John Cross left his soccer team again, but this time they knew exactly where he was, back home, spending time with his mom. And a few weeks later, when the team played an away game not too far from John's hometown, his teammates insisted that he take the field. He'd finally finished a full season of college soccer.
Like, we didn't win a lot. I didn't play spectacular. I was like, you just accomplished something that you can be proud of. You are a good teammate this year. You were a good son.
Noelle Cross died a month later, on November 25th, 2015. These days, John Cross speaks to athletes about his addiction and how he keeps himself balanced in sobriety. And he's an assistant coach at St. Joe's College in Maine, where the players know his story, and he leads them in yoga and meditation once a week. We'll have a link to John's website at onlyagame.org. You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.